Just how fast is our economy growing?
Let Marketplace be your guide to the modern world. Subscribe to the Marketplace Tech Report podcast. Find it on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. In just a few hours, we'll get the final official reading on GDP for the third quarter. That's a measure of all the goods and services that make up the U.S. economy. Now, I can safely say we're not going to be anywhere near China's 9% growth. But as our Washington Bureau Chief John Dimsdale reports, all signs do point to an uptick.
Last spring, GDP growth was barely above 1%, and there was talk of a double-dip recession. But by summer, GDP was up a much healthier 2%, and Nigel Gault with IHS Global Insight expects fourth-quarter growth will top 3%.
The optimism is coming from some pent-up demand starting to kick in. Those people who are in work are feeling a little bit more confident, a little more willing to take the risk of making that big purchase.
Some good domestic news is boosting that confidence. Gary Thayer is chief economist at Wells Fargo Advisors. He says jobless claims have dropped to the lowest levels in 3 years, and gasoline prices are falling.
The two of those things together are positive for the consumer, and I think that's keeping them still in the market and buying goods, particularly during the holiday season, so that's helping our economy.
Still, he says, global forces, especially in Europe, remain a threat to the U.S. recovery. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Well, in case you missed it, the European Central Bank yesterday printed $640 billion worth of euros and lent them to 523 banks. That's almost the same amount of money as the TARP program used by the U.S. government during the financial crisis back in 2008. But now comes the hard part. And our European correspondent, Stephen Beard, is here with us live to explain from London. Good morning, Stephen.
Hello, Jeremy.
So what happens now that the ECB has given out these loans to banks?
Well, the central bank, what it hopes will happen is that the credit crunch in Europe will now recede. With so much money sloshing around, the hope is the banks will start lending to each other again, and the danger of a major banking collapse in Europe will be averted for now. This action end the central problem of Eurozone government debt or sovereign debt? Jacques Cailloux of the Royal Bank of Scotland thinks not.
It doesn't really address the core of the problem, which is a sovereign problem. And I mean, Italian bond yields did rise, showing the extent of the problems we're facing.
The European Central Bank was hoping that the money it lends to the commercial banks will then be used to buy the bonds of the most troubled governments in the Eurozone, Italy and Spain, for example, and that would bring down those governments' borrowing costs. But most analysts fear that the banks have already been so badly burned on their Eurozone government bonds, they won't want to buy any more.
And there are obvious risks to the European Central Bank if these banks that were lent to don't pay them back in the end.
Right.
How's all this going down in Europe?
Well, generally, it's been well received. Stock markets here are up today. A banking collapse has probably been averted, as we've seen. There probably won't be a Lehman-style event in the near future. But the Eurozone debt crisis, the worries about the possibility of a government defaulting, sadly, that crisis lumbers on.
Marketplace's Stephen Beard in London. Stephen, thanks.
Okay, Jeremy.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are lower in Asia this morning, and as Stephen said, they're higher in Europe. The sandwich chain Quiznos is on the verge of either bankruptcy or a takeover. That's according to the Wall Street Journal. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow added just 4 points to close at 12,107.
Do you enjoy the music we play between stories? Visit the Marketplace Music section to browse playlists for all of our programs and to buy those songs on Amazon. A percentage of each purchase goes towards supporting our programs. Find more online at marketplace.org/music.
If you've been to the mall in the last few days, you've probably noticed a lot of sales. And you always have to wonder who's getting the better end of the deal, you, the consumer, or them, the seller. But in the small town of Pittsboro, North Carolina, the sales are most certainly for real, like at the C.A. Sullivan Music Shop. Here's reporter Lita Hartman.
And watch this. This is a little trick you can do on the guitar. First finger on the fifth string, the seventh fret.
Tony Sullivan is showing 14-year-old Sean Jackson how to play a jazzy version of Greensleeves.
Dang, just blew my mind.
Sean travels an hour and pays $25 to learn from a master. Sullivan used to be a session musician in Nashville and toured with his own band. Now at 61, he sells guitars in this little North Carolina town and teaches kids how to play. Since the recession hit, he's been giving some lessons for free.
And I'm a lousy businessman. I mean, everybody that comes in that door is more or less a friend, and I can't help but treat people like that, you know, unless they do something to change it, you know.
At one point, Sullivan had 8 kids learning for free. Now it's down to 3. Some of the parents can't afford the gas anymore.
They're my neighbors, and, you know, and they're hurting.
Things have been slow for him, too. Nowadays, people come in to sell their own instruments, not to buy any. But that hasn't made him change.
I'm old enough, and I'm from the South, and working-class people. Integrity was a big deal. I mean, that was the only thing you knew you could take to the grave with you.
Those values aren't gone. At the end of his lesson, Sean Jackson slips Sullivan an extra $5. Sullivan catches it and hands it back. But he does take a gift from his landlady, Elizabeth Anderson.
And so I said, well, why don't you just take $100 off the rent for a while? I could use the $100 too, but not as much as this store could.
Anderson figures if she can help one business stay afloat, the whole town will be better off. In Pittsboro, North Carolina, I'm Lita Hartman for Marketplace.
And finally, Mexico has been looking for ways to get tourists to look past the drug-related violence that's dominated media coverage and maybe come visit, maybe have a margarita or two. Well, according to Advertising Age, tourism officials are promoting an odd attraction, the end of the world, according to the Mayan calendar, which could come next December. One hotel proclaims, quote, "The Mayan calendar is running out, and so is your chance to win big." In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.